Grace indeed, grace, peace, and mercy are yours this day through Jesus Christ. Amen. Anybody who just heard that song for the first time? Nobody. Okay. Today marks the first Sunday in our summer sermon series, which is called Singing Our Faith. It's amazing how hymns, songs, music gets in your bones. It kind of gets into you a little bit different than anything else. And today we're kicking it off by looking at this hymn, Amazing Grace. And it gives us a chance to kind of look deeper into it. And a lot of hymns have stories behind them. And so I kind of nerded out on Amazing Grace this week. So bear with me here, okay? This song has kind of gotten to everybody. You don't even have to be a churchgoer to know this song. And part of the fun of it is actually digging into the story behind it. Some of you might know it, but I got into it, like I said. It's written by a man named John Newton. He was an Englishman born in 1725. And his mother was a Christian, and his dad was a merchant sailor, and sadly, his mom died when he was only 7. So he went through that as a kid. And then he started jumping on boats with his dad when he was 11. And, you know, sailors have gotten a certain reputation over the years, you know? So you imagine some of the adult things young John experienced. And he did this throughout his teenage years. And it seems that John began to fit the stereotype. Learning about Newton, I found evidence this week that one of his captains said that John gained notoriety as being one of the most profane men he had ever met. In fact, there was a quote, I had to share it. In a culture where sailors habitually swore, Newton was admonished several times for not only using the worst words the captain had ever heard, but creating new ones to exceed the limits of verbal debauchery. I thought that sounds like some of the baseball teammates I've had over the years. Well, he was forced into the Royal Navy. And evidently, he wasn't that great there either. He tried to desert in order to get back to his girlfriend. And then, so the Navy kicked him out, and at sea, on a passing ship that was involved in the enslavement of people, they transferred him over to that boat. And so John then just stayed on in the business of the slave trade in Great Britain, making trips to Africa in the business of enslaving people and shipping them other places and selling them to other folks. And he even became captain of a number of ships. But apparently, 10 years into the business, he was captaining a ship, and they got into a really terrible storm. And like many people who perhaps have not acknowledged God over the years, when he got into this near-death experience, he prayed. And he had what he referred to as a conversion experience, and he made it safely. They landed in Donegal, Ireland, and there's actually a statue of John Newton still there. But even after that, he continued in that putrid business. Health took him off the boat and back to shore, and even though he was investing still in the slave trade, he started becoming a minister and started writing hymns and poems with one of his congregation members who was interested in this too, and wrote Amazing Grace in 1772 around Christmas time. And it wasn't until he was about 60 years old that he started feeling remorse for his youth, seeing that what he had done had contributed to so much hurt and pain and suffering, and he had not treated people in the way that God had intended them to be treated. And so then he became a mentor and an advisor to politicians in Great Britain, encouraging them to abolish the practice of enslaving people. He helped found the Anti-Slavery Society, and he wrote a pamphlet about his experience as a captain, and a copy was sent to every person in Parliament, and he died 9 months after Parliament abolished the practice of the slave trade in Great Britain. Kind of a cool story, huh? Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I've run into folks that don't like the fact that this hymn refers to oneself as a wretch. And I get that, you know, that feels kind of harsh. And, you know, there's a lot that would advise us against having negative self-talk, you know, putting ourselves down. And I think it's fair to say that God's relationship with us, God's purpose isn't so that we feel crummy about ourselves, you know? And yet, in relationship with God and others, we might be led to consider how we've not lived up. Perhaps one of the great things about this hymn is its vulnerability. The vulnerability to acknowledge, you know, there have been times where if I replayed them in my life, I probably wouldn't be very proud of it. And I'm guessing most of us here could probably relate to that. Probably why this hymn has such lasting power. Earlier this week, Pastor Lois wisely said that you don't have to be a repentant slave trader to find the depth of truth in this hymn. The hymn allows us to be open and vulnerable. And then it proclaims the hope that the grace of God is still active and present and available even in our worst and even despite our worst. Wow. God knows all the stuff that I've done, that whole video reel that I don't want to look at, and still thinks I'm worthy. Still thinks you're worth it. You know, that's really the story of God's people. About a month ago, we hosted homebound members of Mount Olivet. Volunteers pick them up and they bring them to church, and we do this twice a year, and they come in on a Saturday morning and have communion service. Little message, little worship, and then we have dinner afterwards, lunch. People take them back to where they're at, where they reside. And Pastor Callen gave the message that day. And he listed in his message a bunch of people and characters from the Bible. He noted how God uses people to share hope. And he said, just think of the people that God has used. And it struck me that I wanted to share it. He said, you know, Abraham and Sarah were old. Elijah had thoughts of suicide. Joseph, the Old Testament Joseph, was abused. Job went bankrupt, among other things. Moses had a speech problem. Gideon was afraid. Samson was pretty promiscuous. Rahab was a prostitute. The Samaritan woman was divorced. Noah had a drinking problem. Jeremiah was young. Jacob was a cheater. David was an adulterer and a murderer. Jonah ran from God. Naomi was a widow. Peter denied Christ 3 times when Jesus needed him most. Martha was worried about everything. Zacchaeus was small and money hungry. The disciples fell asleep while praying. Paul was a Pharisee who persecuted people who loved Jesus before falling in love to God's grace. We know and we tell all these stories of God's people, how much love and grace was still poured out in and to and through them. The story of Scripture is a story of us too. John Newton saw himself as that younger son in the parable of Jesus that Pastor McLean read for us this morning. He saw himself as the son in Jesus' story who was lost but then was found by grace. He saw himself as one who was blind, but then God revealed better how to look at other people and the world God made. He saw himself as one who had been through storms and yet looked to see God had stuck with him, and it changed his life. One thing that's fun to note about John's conversion, too, is even though he noted the date of that storm, it was like May 10th, 1770, whatever, it wasn't until later that the blinders kept coming off. God wasn't done with him in that one conversion experience. The grace kept pouring into his life again and again and again. It kept transforming him. And so even if you've sung this hymn 1,000 times, you might continue to be found and transformed by the love of Christ. Could we have faith today to consider how God's grace is continuing to transform us? And what new sight is God working in you and us? The beautiful thing that this hymn reminds us is that every time we sing it, it says God's not done with us yet. God's still working grace in you. And in turn, to share it with others, just as John did. To share, I've been changed by how much God loves, and it has changed how I love others. And it indeed will lead us home. So let's sing another verse. Amen.